It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, babe. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it. You gotta see it.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
It's a Football Friday here on Danny and Dusty. Dusty en route to Madison, Wisconsin. Will Ortner in. Jeff Russ behind the glass.
Holla at your boy.
Hey.
What's up?
It's going to be one of those days. I've already had people yesterday ask.
Fry-yay?
It's a fry-yay. I had people ask yesterday, Danny, what's wrong with your voice? I've been doing radio every day on top of basketball and podcasts, and my voice is going. Hopefully we can get through the day. It's already cracked like 3 times talking this morning.
So well, I guess at least people only come to you and say, what's wrong with your voice?
Right?
To me, it's like, what's wrong with your face?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's true. It's a good way to go.
And like, I mean, this happens a lot when you go through puberty. So I'm sure like, right, 40 years old, that's when most people kind of finally get through the last little bit.
Yeah, change.
Midlife puberty, as it were.
Isn't that what starts the crisis? You, yeah. Like, you re-go through puberty? Is that not how the human body works?
Yeah,
time to buy a T-top Camaro.
There you go. Ooh, yeah.
I'd go.
What's your midlife crisis car going to be?
The new Corvette.
The new Corvette.
Those are bad.
Corvette. Yeah. What's the new Corvette? What kind?
Have you not seen it?
No, I'm looking at it right now.
Like a Lambo. See, like I'm not. I've never been a big Corvette man. Like the old school, like the Stingray Corvette was the last good one until this current one. This current one, it looks like a supercar.
Yeah, no,
this is cool.
It's bad.
There's like 5 of them in Newburgh, and they all have like the Lambo style paint scheme.
Yeah,
like
we got a neighbor guy up the street that's got one.
The Stingray.
Yeah, there's like a blue one that has like a just like a perfect
like the blue one.
It's like that sky blue, but it's somehow it's both flat and glossy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's super like that new paint style is super interesting, but there's also like that Lamborghini orange, like bright,
right, like traffic cone orange.
Yeah, there's that. There's a lime green one, and then there's a white and a red one.
I like the white one.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the white one right now.
That's what the neighbor's got. Yeah, is the white one.
Well, you don't want the red one because the red one means you're more likely to get pulled over.
Yes, that's where you go with the. I'm a big fan of the black car.
Ooh,
in one like that. Yeah,
go with black car. That Stingray, it's a pricey little beast.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
It's like $170,000.
So I was going to say, I have one on here that says 77.
Is this a brand new one?
Well, I wasn't even talking brand new.
No, this is 24.
Yeah. I was talking the old Stingrays from like, what, late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, no,
flared fenders and such.
The brand new one is like the baseline. The entry model is 70.
But gotcha. If you want all the bells and whistles.
Look, if I'm getting a midlife crisis car, I'm getting that Z06.
What about the Batmobile, dude? That's getting put up for auction. There's like 10 of them.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, dude. What if you got one of those?
Are they over a mil each, or was it like three?
I think it's over two.
I mean, look, Zuck and Bezos and those guys.
There's a lot
coming. Like, I want one.
Yeah. No, dude. Some stupid streamer like David Dobrik is gonna have one of these.
You're not wrong.
Aiden Ross is gonna have it on some stream with Trump, and they're gonna be driving around in the Batmobile.
I saw some video of a fireman trying to break into like a passenger side window of the Cybertruck, and they couldn't break it. It's like, hey, you know what? That's a fantastic idea. Make it so the first responders cannot extricate you from your vehicle in an emergency.
Smart. Yeah. Looks like 3 mil for the Batmobile.
Yeah.
So, do you guys ever see Hassan Whiteside's truck?
No.
He had a 2020 Jeep that he converted into basically a tank. He turned it into a six wheeler.
Ooh.
Yeah, that thing was like, what do you call it? It's like Big Bertha, Big Mom.
Big Betty?
Hold on, let me Googles. Big Shirley.
Big Shirley.
Big Shirley.
I think you got to go like some sort of alliteration there. You can't go Big Shirley, like Super Shirley.
I don't know. Big Shirley, that's a Big waitress Shirls. In a like Oklahoma City diner that's worked there for 45 years.
See, maybe you name your car then like Helga. So that way everyone knows like it's a thrower, but it's a good thrower.
Got to be a
like,
German car.
Like she's
point,
probably
going
to win. I guess that's true. Like, do you name your car after the country it was manufactured in?
I mean, if you're going to go with Helga, yeah. I feel like Germany is a good start.
You get like a Beamer.
You know?
So he was the first one to get it, and then I think it was like 350,000, something like that, for that thing. And then Doncic rolled up to a game last year, and I think it was made by the same company. They said that Whiteside's had 900 horsepower, and Doncic just had like 850. But
I'm surprised he didn't just go with 901,
right? Just to have it, but just go full prices right on the horsepower. But like these are some of the things that came out of that. It had a 6x6 transmission with 40-inch tires and 6 10-ply and 22-inch anthracite rims.
What's the point?
10-ply sounds like a hell of a toilet paper,
right? That's what I was going to say. I was like, as a non-car guy.
You're not ripping through that one.
Like, as a non-car guy, this means nothing to me. Like, okay.
10-ply tires is like, that's insane. Like 10-ply rubber, like 10 layers of rubber in that.
I was completely unaware until now that ply was a tire term.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really only thought it came with TP.
Yeah.
The more you know. I'm learning on
10,000 watt sound system, which, you know what? I love to hear that. It brings joy to my heart. I don't hear enough trunks rattling anymore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, go to a high school football practice. You'll hear it.
So it's a thing? It still happens?
I live close enough to Westview High School.
There's still, don't worry. It's not the 1980s Honda Accord anymore. It's the early 2000s Honda Accord. Okay. But that thing still has a speaker that costs more than the dang car.
So we're still doing it?
Oh, we're still doing it right,
we're still doing Monster Cable with a subwoofer rolling around in the back, not actually screwed down?
Well, and is it still the removable face stereo deck in the car?
No, but I'll let you know right now. It shakes so much that you can hear the car from like 3 blocks away.
Do they have the club on the steering wheel still?
The worst part is,
they just steal that thing.
I was going to say, no one's rocking with the club, but I'll tell you right now, it's not like back in the day, it was like gangster rap or something. Like it was, or heavy metal. Like it was hard.
Yeah.
Now it's just like
a lot of mumble rap.
No, it's EDM. So it's like, and it's like, this sucks. There's no words.
Oh, back in my day, yeah, it'd be like the Too Short, maybe some Two Live Crew.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Too Short is hilarious. There's an Eagles fan. Every time the Eagles win, he blares Blow the Whistle, and he
some
dances
iced teas.
In
like, that's right when he started Body hilarious. Count, too.
Mm. Yeah. Hilarious.
Cop killer.
Look, all I know is...
no, he is a cop.
I'm just glad the kids are doing all right.
The kids are doing just fine.
Look, it saddened me when I just felt like no one was making the block hot anymore. You know, you just didn't have anybody just rattling the trunk. The most obscene amount of bass imaginable, like to the point of like causing actual tinnitus at the age of 18.
I'll know the kids are doing all right when I see them making a turn to Westview High School and I can hear the Alan Parsons Project coming from like 4 blocks away.
I don't know that you'll hear that, but I'll tell you what is coming back. bleached hair.
Oh?
And the kids...
Oh, yeah, well, Joe Burrow did that already.
They're not super smart about it. It turns into frosted tips.
Oh.
Yeah. I had about...
It does grow out. Yeah,
I mean. No, I had three or four players where I was... I had to show them some old Justin Timberlake NSYNC photos.
Mm. Oh, the ramen hair.
That's right. Now, yeah. They're not as wavy as he had it, because like no one's trying to get a perm anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The broccoli tops are...
The broccoli top is there, but usually if you go broccoli top, you're not going frosted tip. You're going frosted tip because you're bleaching your hair, because you're doing some sort of like weird M&M... NSYNC
Redux
Justin
thing.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's
back streets. Back,
it's an interesting all right. thing. But then instead of wearing like baggy clothes, or I guess baggy like jeans, you're now wearing like pajama bottoms, which I despise.
Well, or is it like the skinny jeans that are almost like capris and showing off your ankle socks?
Skinny jeans are that's my era. Like okay. Yeah, no, skinny jeans with the big Osirises.
Yeah,
that's my time.
This is now like straight leg wide pipe pants. Not JNCOs.
Yeah, they're much too big for you.
Yeah, they're too big, and they're like higher cut, like above your ankle, so that doesn't even touch your shoe. It's I've seen them at Blazers games, walking around the children's of the world that are their dads are buying them courtside tickets, and I'm just like, what the hell is happening here?
The interesting thing though is that the shirts are always super tight.
Yeah,
it's the biggest pants, and then you're like rolling around in a white tank top, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Or the black version.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're doing, the black tank top color.
Look, the Pat McAfee. I know.
Yes.
I know where we are in the world. Can we just call it what it is?
I'm not going to call. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
The wife beater.
Oh.
Yeah. It got the name because.
I get it. I understand.
It came from a certain connotation, and it's like.
That got canceled.
It's like,
as an educator, I'm not canceled? Comfortable.
Did it get canceled, or did we just kind of like, well, we should put
I
this
I think
one
we probably
there.
Decided that was a moniker that maybe just needs to be put in the drawer and put away.
Because, look, here's the thing. I was asking my wife the other day.
And it's not wrong. As soon as you say it, everyone knows what you're talking about.
That's kind of my point. And I was like, as soon as I was like, hey, babe, have you seen my undershirt? And she's like, which one are you looking for? And I was like, my wife beater.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah. You know, because I just done a load. And she's like, I can't remember. She moved something somewhere. And it was like, hey, I did like a whole load of whites. Like, have you seen any of the wife beaters? Because I don't know about you guys. I almost never, which is hilarious considering right now I don't have one on just because I'm entirely lazy and in the most comfortable fashion possible, don't have an undershirt.
I almost never wear one.
No, see, I don't. Yeah.
I'm the other way around. I always have another undershirt.
I always
on.
Run hot. I don't need another layer. Yeah,
I'll do it if I'm wearing like a nicer clothes.
Yeah,
or like if last I'm like, night,
yeah, wearing like a nice shirt,
yeah,
suit, whatever. Yes, then I'll put on an undershirt.
Last night I had like a, it was kind of see through ish. It like it's a white shirt, but in the right light, you can kind of see through it. I'll throw an undershirt on under that. I also like
that
sometimes
Hanes 3-pack.
Yeah, well, and sometimes too.
Back
I think
from the old
it,
Michael Jordan. Hitler stash days.
I don't really remember those days. I'll tell you what, though. Like, there is a part of those shirts that I do understand why people wear them. I do think it sucks everything in and it puffs up other stuff. Like, I think I might have the biggest chest ever when I wear those. It just, like, pops them up. It's like a sports bra, but for dudes.
I mean, they think they have those, too.
No, but I'm not wearing that.
It's a man's ear.
Gross.
Right?
We're not going Costanza out here.
The
not
bro.
Not wearing the man's ear.
Are you aware of the cup sizes?
Yeah.
You got the A.
Yeah.
You got the B.
But I'm somebody who always runs hot.
Stuff short. That's my move.
There's something about, like, when I was in the military, the only time the undershirt I wore was like a compression shirt.
Yeah, yeah. The dry fit.
Like dry fit. Like that's what you wore on when you were overseas especially. You got a acceptable color dry fit.
Right, right, right.
Now they actually like make them for us. Like
they're like all brown now, aren't they?
Yeah, they actually have like direct like military approved colors
because
we all just started wearing cuz it was what sucked was early on we just had to wear the black. Because we wear black or brown underneath.
Because like, that's like what you were, okay.
Yeah,
so, that's uniform.
Yeah, okay. So we just had to wear the black ones because we didn't, like brown ones or green ones didn't exist. But like, I think I just got used to always wearing some sort of like undershirt or compression shirt. Like it just like became a normal thing. It felt, even like right now where I don't have anything on underneath this t-shirt, it feels weird. But I'm just absolutely wiped and I went with the comfiest manner. I'm literally head to toe swoosh bag. literally.
Well, I mean, you are. You're from Oregon.
Yeah,
I get
it. I mean, but I mean, like, it's
Nike rocks. Dude.
It, they are. They do.
Big fan.
But I went Croc life today. I am. The amount of F's given are zero. I'm wiped out. It's been a long week.
I matched. I'm head to toe black and white.
There you go.
I can match.
I like it.
Is that
putting together an outfit or just like stumbling into it?
I thought about it. I was like, I have black and white shoes. I'm going to wear black pants. I'll wear a white shirt. And then I always wear a hat. So I was like, I might as well wear the black and white hat.
Look at you.
Look
at you.
I am attempting.
Growth.
I cannot dress. I am attempting to try to be able to dress. I'm trying to dress nicer. I'm trying to do nicer things.
I did not today.
I'm trying. Well, you don't have to fight the battles I have to.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm young, apparently.
Yeah.
I am
happily married, so I can sell out every now and then.
Oh, I do that too, but that's when I'm like staying at the house. But yeah. I'm at work.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to like put a better foot forward.
Yeah, I'm not today.
Look at Ortner. Ortner's growing up.
Look, I'll be 100% honest. I am not putting my best foot forward today. I am fighting it.
It does help that joggers have become like kind of acceptable.
Oh, God. Like the whole like athleisure thing being
I love my joggers.
Part of life now is a wonderful thing. Because actually, you know what's funny is I started this morning by putting on the Nike athleisure jogger pants, and I had the dry fit, like literally fresh out of the dryer, and I went, or not the dry fit, God, how do they call it? The fleece.
The Nike. I'm going to be no help. I know none of the
names.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
I know. Lord, I know Air Force Ones.
Yeah, I'm totally blanking on what the police tech is. But anyways, I'm head to toe in it right now. It's so cozy. So there you go.
Yeah. But I'm not exactly setting any standard in here either. Every day it's just t-shirt and jeans. So I keep it the same.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with running the football, Rust.
Yeah.
No, exactly. No, run the ball.
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Thank you for text line. Come check out Travis Matthew and be cozy for life. Shout out our guy working at the Travis Matthew store.
Who's Travis Matthew?
It's a great. Oh, you don't have Travis Matthew clothes?
No, no. We're lucky. We're lucky. I got joggers.
Hey, buddy. Work your way on down to Washington Square.
I'm growing up.
Ooh, it's nice. Golf, like golf gear.
I need golf pants.
Oh, dude, I've got a hefty amount of Travis Matthew in the closet. Super comfy.
Where are the? Okay, well you do that. I'm gonna find golf pants.
There you go. Scroll through that, and when we go into the break, and come up next, we're gonna talk about some NFL football. The Commanders and Eagles played a fun little game, and then an ugly little game that broke out into a fun little game down the stretch. Who did that game mean more for, the Commanders or the Eagles? And do we learn anything more about which one of those teams is a little bit more real, a little bit more fake? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Wherever you go. We're starting the season DOA after the riveting reporting coming out of Eagles training camp that they all hated each other. A lot of folks wondered if the Eagles were going to be mildly successful this year, or if this was the beginning of the end for Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, and a Philadelphia team that lost a lot of leadership as Jason Kelce retired and Fletcher Cox moved on. And there is this void, and they've somehow managed to string together wins that, while not impressive, kept them kind of going. And I don't know if they're still there. It almost feels like they're overperforming what they should be based solely on talent, which is a good way to fall back. But last night, they beat the Washington Commanders 26-18 behind a 20-point fourth quarter.
Yeah, thanks, because I had the Commies plus four.
Look, I did too. Philadelphia, you miss a couple of field goals. They don't have a ton going most of the game. And then hello, Saquon freaking Barkley.
Yeah, well, here's why I don't think it's fraudulent what the Eagles are doing. It's because the offensive line is finally clicking after they lost their heart and soul. Like, they lost Jason Kelce because he retired over the year. It takes a while, especially at that center position. Look at the Oregon Ducks if you're a Duck fan. And if you don't have the right guy, or the guy that you have at that center position that's setting the point, setting the blocking schemes, getting everyone together on the same page, it takes time. And it took this Eagles offense time. And now you can get Saquon Barkley going. Because right now, I'm not totally in love with how Jalen Hurts is playing. Like, to talk about him,
I don't think you should be.
He's not playing. Like, last time they went to the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts was basically the MVP if he didn't get hurt. Now it's a little bit of a different team because they're winning in the trenches and they're winning with that offensive line. And then Saquon Barkley is back to, what, 2018 Saquon Barkley? But the other thing that
he's
you're seeing...
effing bad this year.
He's so good. Oh, my Lord. He's so good. He's playing with his hair on fire. Yeah. But the other thing that's finally clicking is defensively, Vic Fangio's defense. It's back where it needs to be. It took a while. He doesn't run a challenging scheme. It's very similar to Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks. Hey, we do these five things and we do them every single play. That's what Vic Fangio does. But it takes a little bit to get everyone in the right position, to get everyone clicking, understanding how, hey, this player is going to see this, so I need to react here. This player is going to do this because of what the offense is doing, so I need to react in this way. It takes a little bit to build that chemistry. And what you're seeing is defensively, they are finally clicking. And the big reason they're doing that is because of Cooper DeJean and Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Mitchell out on the outside is unbelievable as a corner.
Up over
Terry McLaurin, 20 no times. Catches.
Zero,
not even, no
not
catches.
Even zero catches, zero targets.
I'd have to go back through and see the numbers, but basically he has given up 1 to 3 catches on every number one that he's faced, mm-hmm. and he is a rookie, so he's only going to get better. Yeah. You're seeing this defense click, and that might be why I'm starting to buy into them more. It's not because of necessarily Jalen Hurts. It's the sum of the parts around Jalen Hurts, and that defense is nasty.
And the white corner.
Do you feel like this Eagles team is for real, though? Like, if you saw this team in the NFC Championship game, you'd buy it?
Yes. It would depend on who they're going up against, but right now, they're probably the second best team in the NFC.
Okay.
You know, and there's still a hope that Jalen Hurts can figure it out offensively. Like, there's still room for them to get better. I think that's what's
scary. He might
have
gotten some sense knocked into him last night as he left the game for a concussion check and make sure he's good to go and goes back out there. And still, actually, as weird as it sounds, he looked better after getting his bell rung. As awkward as that is to say out loud.
It's a strong O-line, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a strong O-line.
I mean, they on those long Saquon runs, both times the center got out and cleared
Juergens,
just got out and just Juergens flattened the safety for the I almost said the
on the Commanders. He absolutely lit that man.
Threed him the whole length of the field. Like, he got him twice. Like, he got him backpedaling like at basically 5 yards downfield, and you could tell he was already tea kettling, and he was like, "Let me go ahead and help you here, bud," and just smacked him again and just sent him rolling. It was like, "Come on, man, you didn't have to do that to him." Like, that's rough.
Well, it's beautiful too, because he's doing that on a zone play. And as an offensive lineman, if you can get your center to that backside linebacker and cut him off, like, not even pancake him, it sets everything up for the cutback.
Yeah.
And what Saquon is doing right now is he's delivering his offensive lineman to the linebackers so that he can hit those big cutbacks.
Take it out wide, cut it back in.
And Cam Juergens, getting up to that second level. It's why Jason Kelce was so light when he played. Like, Jason Kelce was under 300 pounds for the majority of his time.
It was like Chip Kelly era.
He was 270. 270.
He's like, yeah, we got a little light in the back end, and it was like, right. You know, every now and then when you get into the ugly games, you get pushed around.
That's where you get into trouble. But the whole reason that they do that at that center spot is so you can get up to that linebacker. Yeah. And the zone game is set up for the bang of the football. You can bounce it, bang it, or bend it, the three Bs. And if you bang it or bend it back, that's where you see your big plays hit.
Yeah.
And that's all Saquon's doing right now, and he's running with his hair on fire. His O-line is setting him up.
He looks so fast right now.
His O-line is setting him up so that he only has to beat one man, and he's actually beating those guys. And when the O-line does miss, he makes him right. So as long as Saquon Barkley can stay healthy, this O-line keeps, you know, getting better each and every week, and that defense keeps getting better each and every week, why couldn't they win it? Now, if you're saying in a one-game shot, them or Detroit, I'm probably taking Detroit. I need to see a little bit more of the 49ers now that CMC is back. Mm. But right now, I think I'd take the Eagles over the 49ers.
I would, too.
The
49ers haven't looked right at all. From the Commanders' side of things, I think there was a couple of interesting developments last night. You've now seen Jaden Daniels face back-to-back teams in the Steelers and Eagles, who have had long, long, long-running success. And yet Jaden Daniels has still found a way to be successful. But I think you started to see where some of the shortcomings are in this Commanders team. We'll take a look at that and where they could possibly be coming up here next on Danny and Dusty. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Zone Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Jeff Russ and I both picked up L's on our Commanders pick last night, +4.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders, and
all it took was a 20-point fourth quarter.
Yeah, look, the Commanders looked like they had things under control. They
felt like the witching hour.
Look, I mean, you know, they're up 7-3 going into the half. It was a low scoring, ugly, grinded out, punchy in the face. Look, the Eagles missed a couple of field goals. And it looked like the Commanders at multiple times were going to put a drive together. Jaden Daniels threw a pick, which has not been a thing that has happened. He only had two interceptions coming into the game this season, or coming into the game tonight or last night. What the Commanders couldn't do was run the ball, which is what the Eagles could do. You take a look at where the Commanders had that wart. Will, when you were in earlier this week, we were talking about this Commanders team and how they struggled defensively against the run. That was like the one weakness. They were giving up .142 a game. Weirdly enough, Saquon Barkley, .46. It's funny how that works out when that magic number seems to kind of pop up and crop up for you. And this Commanders team, they're not out of it by any means. They're 7-4. They're very, very, very much still in this.
They're a playoff team, I think. At 79% chance,
yeah,
I believe.
I mean, and their schedule remaining is not the most grueling thing on the face of the planet. Cowboys, Titans, Saints are their next three.
Yeah, you should be okay. You should be okay. But I do want to point something out that Jaden Daniels is still hurt. When you break a rib or you have a core injury or something like that, that doesn't go away with anything other than rest, right? Mm-hmm. So he's just going to keep getting beat up. And I wonder if, because he had some throws where dudes were open in this game, and he left it short. It looked like he couldn't step into a lot of his
throws.
There
was the one that hit the wide receiver in the foot on the deep dig. And
yes.
Because if he hits him on that, he's...
he's wide open.
He's going.
You know, like if he doesn't score, it's a big gain. Yeah. It looked like he wasn't trying to fit the ball into certain tight windows, and that's probably because he couldn't. Like, he might normally be able to, but...
and he was playing the checkdown game with Ertz, and Ertz had a nice little game.
Right. Well,
you remembered. Oh, yeah. Zach Ertz exists.
Ertz and Eckler. Yeah. Huge games from them. Yeah. The problem with that is if everything is a checkdown in the NFL... then you're never pushing the ball downfield. Well, then teams are going to start closing in.
And then you can't run. Didn't
look like he was super comfortable running. I chalk that all up to coming back from the rib injury. And when you have to have such a short week like he's going through, maybe his rib isn't 100%. You know, it's one of those things where if he gets his 6 days off or his 6 days where they can go through their traditional game plan of getting him ready for a game, you know, he feels better going into that game. And now he's a little more amped to run. He feels better in the core, so he can throw it deeper. When it's a short rest and you got to go, and then you're getting hit a bunch of times, or you're worried about getting hit by this Eagles defense that I said is getting better and better, and that pass rush is getting better and better each week. Like, you're not 100% healthy. You're not ready to go. You aren't going to be able to do the things you normally do.
Does anything from last night make you not believe in the Commanders as a, as not even just a playoff team, but a frisky play? Like, if I told you that the Commanders have a matchup with not the Lions or not the Eagles in the first round, are you comfortable saying that from what you've seen from this team that they could win a playoff game?
Yeah, I think so, at least for right now. Yeah. But I also think that, you know, the Cliff Kingsbury effect has to be a little bit, you have to keep an eye on that, because this tweet came out, and this is an older graphic, but it's been out before. When he was the head coach in Arizona, his games 1 through 7, he basically had a winning record every single year, or he was about 500. Then you look at it after game 7, he has a losing record. It's almost like he comes into the season with a certain game plan for his tendency breakers, mm-hmm. and he has, you know, the time of the offseason to create the offense, to look a certain way, to have different motions that trick teams and put his guys in the right positions. And then teams figure out how to stop that and figure out his tendencies. So then they start, you know, hey, we've got a look where they're in shotgun, and because the running back's on the left, now we can blitz the right side because we know they like to run power to the right. He doesn't make the adjustments after the fact. So if I'm a Washington Commanders fan, or as I watch this team more throughout the year, that's something that I'm going to pay attention to. How does this offense look? Because it doesn't look nearly as dynamic as it did all the way back week 2, week 3, week 4, you know? And yes, 100%. Some of that is because of the injury to your quarterback. And remember, he's still a rookie quarterback. As good as he's looked this year, there are going to be times where he looks like a legitimate rookie quarterback and he struggles. But I think that that is something important to keep an eye on, of when you start playing better teams or teams with better defenses, does this offense continue to take steps back or at least stay at the same level that they were at? Because if that continues, which Kingsbury has shown that he will do when he was in college and when he was in the pros, I would be worried going into a postseason game where you need to be taking steps forward. Mm. You need to feel like the Eagles, where it feels like you're getting better each week.
As the season progresses.
Where the Commanders kind of feel like, at best right now, they're stagnant.
That's an interesting thought, and I think it's one of those things where it's a kind of a cross sports axiom, as it will, of like hitting the rookie wall.
Yep.
Where, you know, at this point in time, your college football season is wrapping up.
You got 2 games left.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this, like
two regular season games.
But I mean, this is kind of where like all the hits and all the stuff, and you know, you're starting to wear it. And in the NFL, there are times where, you know, in college football, the game's salted away, the kids come in, right? You know, the backups come in and you just kind of keep this thing moving on to the next week. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
Nope.
And so you're taking all those hits, you're taking all those extra plays, and you're talking. You wonder if Jaden Daniels, with that rib or ribs, the cartilage, I think is what it was.
Right.
It's one of those things that just the degradation of it. It's going to start to wear on him, and how that not only they can manage that from the physical side of things, but the mental side of things, the developmental side of things. The hey, we need to get you from doing X to doing X and Y. Because if you're going, as the season progresses, as the tape comes out, we talked about this with CJ Stroud last year, as that maturation process keeps coming, can you kind of figure that out? So it's be an interesting thing to kind of watch with this Commanders team, because I picked them as the dark horse team to win this division. And I think that might be over with kind of where they're at.
You get the Eagles again, but as you look down their losses are to the Eagles, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bucks.
Yeah.
So
the better teams.
You've lost to at minimum 3 playoff teams, maybe a 4th with the Buccaneers. Yeah. It might be one of those teams where you beat who you're supposed to beat and you lose to who you're supposed to. The other thing that I found interesting, because you were just talking about the rookie wall that everyone hits, and I didn't really think about it in this way until I heard Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of talk about why he handled his combine and his pre-draft stuff the way he did, is he treated it like it's a normal season. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to take my off time when I have my off time. I'm going to ramp up into my build. I'm going to get ready to go by the time the season starts.
And not as opposed to not doing it for the combine.
What a lot of those rookies do is they have to prepare for the combine. So you go from playing a full college football season and where it is grinded out and
you don't
get
a ton
after
of rest.
It. And it is no rest, and you are now asked to perform at the peak of your abilities. Yeah. It's your peak strength, your peak speed, your peak athleticism.
So you're optimizing everything for that particular moment. Like, you're getting your body fat down. You're making sure your diet's flawless. You're doing all your mobility stuff.
There's no unnecessary like
it's like if you're a bodybuilder, like and you're trying to lean out for an event, and like you have to line everything up for that day or that couple of days. It's the same kind of process. Perfect example is former Oregon Duck wide receiver Troy Franklin, who for the combine weighed like a buck 70.
Yep, because he could be the fastest.
Be the fastest he possibly could. Like he's still not going to put on like
your diet changes.
Yeah, like everything about it was like, hey, what can I do to min max whatever it is? Like if you're a guy who's trying to, if the question is he strong enough? Well, it's like, okay, let me put on as much mass as I can to show that I actually am strong enough. But, you know, at the cost of, hey, maybe I don't look quite as fast. Like, there's just so many different things that you start kind of like prioritizing as opposed to what can I do to be the best player?
And then immediately you jump into OTAs and rookie mini camp. And you jump because you have to so that you can be ready for the season. So the type of grind that you go through your rookie year, there's a reason why they hit the wall, because you basically go for a whole year where
it's almost like 2 years. Like, you come out of college football and right into the NFL, and there's just no break.
There's no break. You 18 months.
Yeah.
It's 18 months of I have to be the best I can possibly be every single day. And that has to wear on your body. That has to wear on your mentals. Like, it has to wear on everything. So when I look at this Commanders team, I think they're still a playoff team.
Yeah.
Would it shock me if they got into the playoffs and they beat like an Atlanta?
No,
or a Tampa Bay, or you know, if depending
basically
on
any non top seeded team in the NFC,
basically anyone besides
the Lions and Eagles,
and then jury's still out in my eyes on San Fran, because San Fran can still win that division, and you get your best player back, the guy who makes everything go. Like, here's the crazy part: you had your backup running back in San Francisco, and he was still one of the top five rushers in the NFL. Now you get the best running back in the NFL back, at least like with what he's done, maybe the most important with what he does for your offense in the run game and in the pass game, you get him back.
Yeah.
What does that do for a team that is basically right on the outskirts of being a playoff team and they're just out of, you know, being that division leader?
Yeah.
What does he add to that team? So I got two teams that I feel real confident in Detroit and in Philadelphia. And then I am flirting with the 49ers. We're in the talking stage right now. We're DMing.
Yeah.
We haven't gone on a date.
You've exchanged Snapchats?
Yeah. I probably slid in an Instagram.
Okay.
But now I don't know that we're quite to the phone number phase yet. But we're probably snapping
a
little bit.
That's so weird to me.
What?
Like the whole like not exchanging phone numbers thing. Like that's...
No, most of the time it's Instagram.
I know. It's just...
It's not Snapchat anymore. I'm older than that. That's a high school thing.
So weird.
Are we sliding into DMs?
Oh, yeah. I'm sliding into the 49ers DM. Or they're... You know what we're doing? We're liking stories. We're late night liking stories. Giving it the heart.
God. That's so weird. All right. Keep coming up next.
So and those reaction ones, is there an eggplant emoji yet for the reactions?
Yeah. No, but there's like the smiley face with the big eyes. It's like, oh, you're so sweet. Oh, the blushing emoji.
Good Lord. Coming up next year on this Football Friday, there's a couple snakes in them there boots. There's some trap games around all of college football. We'll talk about the Ducks and the Badgers here in a little bit, as well as the big game between Georgia and Tennessee and what that can mean for the SEC Eliminator. But there's some snakes in the grass that could cause some upsets across college football, which would cause a massive scramble in the college football playoff. We'll get to those coming up here next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's Football Friday here on Danny and Dusty. Got last night's NFL game filed away between the Eagles and Commanders. Let's pivot to some college football. We'll get to the Ducks and the Badgers here at the top of hour number two. But there's a couple potential landmines on the college football landscape.
There are some fun fun chaos that could happen in college football.
There's one to me, and it's the spread right now is 12 and a half between Texas and Arkansas.
It's weird.
Look, there's the Arkansas is just kind of lurking here. They're a 5-4 team. They're not great. They're fun. Talen Green is a really fun, just like hellscape of a quarterback to deal with because he's
the ultimate college quarterback.
He's so big and so fast, but so reckless.
Right. Right. He can make every throw, and when they played and beat Tennessee,
yes,
he made every throw. When they got absolutely they got housed by somebody.
Ole Miss absolutely hung everything up on them.
When they got housed by Ole Miss, he made the worst decisions mm-hmm. with the football.
Yeah, this is a guy in Talen Green who's thrown for 2,200 yards, run for 400. He's got, someone would say, like 18, 19 total touchdowns. He's not an incredibly accurate quarterback. He's the Boise State transfer.
He's an athlete. He's a very good athlete.
Just, like, and when you see him in the open field, he's 6'6", 230.
And he's fast.
And he
can move.
He's mm-hmm. he's 100%. Gifted as an athlete. You see him get loose and you're like, whoa, okay, that's a big dude moving. And he has an absolute cannon attached mm-hmm. to his arm. But it's about where it ends up. And it's like, I fully expect Texas to win that game. I fully expect Texas to win that game and handle business. But Arkansas is a team has the potential to be a disruptor. Because if they knock off Texas and they throw Texas in that two-loss pool,
it's so fun.
Good Lord.
So fun. Well, I think we're going to figure out, this is so stupid because it's Texas, but is Texas back? And what I mean by are they back, are they back to the pre-Georgia team?
Yeah.
Or are they back to the team that played Georgia? Because
and even then, I think there's two different teams in that game. You have first half Texas, and where they came out flat-footed, limp and scared.
The O-line just got destroyed.
And then the second half, they decided we're not going to get. Both those games, that game and USC Michigan,
mm-hmm.
The better team played like crap in the first half and got manhandled in the first half. And in the second half, they looked like the team they were supposed to be coming in. It was like, oh yeah, there you go, because Texas looks scared.
Well, Quinn Ewers looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, he looked terrible.
And we just talked about this with Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. He had an oblique injury. If you don't know where your oblique is, you can Google it. It's on your core. Trust me. Sucks. Dr. Will's here. It's not a fun injury, and it really affects you in your rotation. Guess what quarterbacks do all the time?
Mm.
They're rotating to pass the football.
Or you're getting hit.
Core spot. Exactly. And that's where you get hit. You get hit in the obliques. It's not a fun injury to have. And before Quinn Ewers hurts his oblique, He looked awesome. He made all the throws he needed to. He's not the most mobile guy, but he can move around in the pocket to buy himself an extra second to find his wide receivers, because right now they're five deep mm-hmm. at that wide receiver position. And then he's got arguably the best offensive line in the country. They go up against a Georgia team that was at 100% health, and they came up with some great fire zones, which are just different blitzes out of a zone scheme that completely confuse that offensive line. Kirby Smart did a great job of basically putting six guys right on the line of scrimmage and then just bringing a bunch of different variations to each blitz. Mm. Sometimes the Mike would go A, the defensive end would stay in the C, and then the D tackle would move out to the B. Sometimes now it's the Mike going to the B, and they just crisscrossed and stunted.
That pressure up the middle was there relentlessly.
And as an offensive line, you have to pick up a lot of that without being able to talk to each other. And so there were multiple times where Georgia players were getting home, and Quinn Ewers wasn't able to get the ball out fast enough, and then he's taking shot after shot after shot into that oblique. And so he looked different. Now, they play Vanderbilt. He still looks scared. Every single throw that he's making, it's check down. There's nothing going long. Then he gets a bye week. It almost feels like he's getting a little bit healthier. You watch Quinn Ewers against Florida. He's trying everything. He's throwing deep because he trusts that his O-line is taking care of him. So he looks back to what Quinn Ewers looked like against Michigan. Now, the question is, you're going to go up against an Arkansas team that has a fairly decent defensive line. They got two defensive ends that can get after the passer. This is a competent football team. Their record, it's worse than what it really should be. They've played a lot of close games. Aside from the Ole Miss game, they haven't been blown out by anybody. If they can get pressure on Quinn Ewers, what does Ewers look like? Does he go back to being a pumpkin? Or does he say, I don't care, I'm going to get hit, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to deliver strikes to my wide receivers? And if he does that, then this Texas team, it's, hey, you're back. You are a legitimate top three team in the country. I think you can win a title. If he doesn't do that, you're going to be a two-loss team. And then all of a sudden, who's the best in the SEC?
And that's the thing. The Vancouver text line, does a two-loss Texas team deserve to get into the playoffs with no ranked wins? And it's like,
they'd have a ranked win.
Well, I mean,
they would beat A&M.
Yeah, I mean, but you find, well, if all of a sudden if A&M picks up that loss here at the end.
True.
That's what I'm saying. This is where the disruptor part of this gets really, really nasty. Mm-hmm. We have the primetime bowl. Kansas BYU, Kansas 3-6, but they're a little friskier. I think
the Isaac and Suk Bowl.
Yes, it's the primetime bowl.
Ooh. Oh yes, I'm sorry. Yeah,
but BYU has played with fire for seemingly weeks now.
Yes, they are.
That's one Big 12 matchup. The
Kansas
other
looks good.
There's another Big 12 matchup. Arizona State, unranked, 7-2, 4-2 in the Big 12, taking on Kansas State, 16th, 7-2, 4-2 in the Big 12, for a chance to be the team that can kind of take over the role of Big 12 disruptor if BYU gets knocked off. By the way, who does BYU play next week?
Kansas State?
Arizona State.
Oh.
The Fighting Dillingham.
I was going to say, I think they have do they not have Kansas State?
I think they have them on their schedule still.
I think they have them at the end, too. Like, their end-of-the-year schedule isn't easy. Oh, no, it's Houston.
Houston.
Kansas and Houston, at the beginning of the year, were the most disappointing Big 12 teams. And now
they're friskier.
They're figuring it out. Well, that Kansas team, they couldn't run the football. They were relying too much on that quarterback. And he was having a lot of turnovers. Now they're starting to run the football, and they look halfway decent. Here's the thing. That Arizona State team, when Leavitt is playing to his peak, they can beat anybody in the country. That quarterback, Wes Lynn product, by the way, shout out. Mm-hmm. He can deliver any ball that they need. And Scataboo, is that what his name is? Scataboo, the running back out of Sac State.
That Oregon State had, the jackhammer.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
Sam Leavitt. Jack Coletto. Talking about Coletto, the jackhammer.
Just
Canvas grad, shout out.
Yeah, Scatabo's got a lot of that in him. The Tebow / Taysom Hill.
He runs through people, man. His balance is incredible. He's got great vision. But if those two are playing at their peak, they can beat this Kansas team because their quarterback over at Kansas State, Avery Johnson, he's shown an ability. It's why they lost to BYU, to turn the football over. He's not always, the smartest player with the football. There's a reason why they moved on from Will Howard to Avery Johnson, because Avery Johnson's ceiling,
it's talent,
it's much higher. But right now, there's still times where he shows that he's a young quarterback. Yep. And what Dillingham has this Sun Devil team playing like, they can beat anybody. Now, do I think that they eventually get to the Big 12 title game? No. And would it shock me if Kansas State beats them by 14? No, it wouldn't shock me either. But if there is a team that could knock off this K-State team right now, I would put a lot of money on Arizona State. I'm not going to in this game, but it's a team that I would look at. It's the same thing with Kansas. Kansas is running the football well right now. If they can keep this game close and they don't turn the ball over, because that's what BYU's defense has largely found their success on. It's been turning opposing teams over and then taking advantage of the short field and getting into the end zone. If Kansas doesn't turn the ball over and they run the football well and they ask their quarterback to just make the smart play, all of a sudden you're going to look at 2-1 score games in the fourth quarter. And at this point with the Big 12, it feels like you're not going to have a undefeated champion.
No, and that's another part of this is Utah, who has struggled this year because of injuries. They can play spoiler for Colorado this weekend. If you don't think that Kyle Whittingham would love to do that, you're out of your bleeping mind. Oh, now, do they have the path to do that? They're so banged up and their offense is
they're
so inept right
to
now.
Wilson.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be.
You just lost a really brutal rivalry game too in a controversial. I worry that the Holy War beat them twice.
Yeah, no, it probably did.
I think it's going
to
be.
It's probably going to. And then one of the bigger spread games for the ranked teams this weekend. Boise State, number 13, taking on San Jose State, who's 6-3. It's a 14-point spread. Total in this one is 62.5, which that's a lot of points. That's that's basically saying Boise State's going to put up, you know, what, 40 plus points on San Jose State and keep San Jose State under wraps. Do we remember what San Jose State did up in Washington State?
I mean, they should have won that game. They beat Oregon State.
Do we remember this?
They're a well coached football team.
Not only that, they're a good team. Like they're a good little when I say good, I'm not saying that they're one, a top 25 team in the country, but like, can they, sneak up behind somebody and nip them on the heels if you don't pay attention? That happens in college football, guys. It happens every single week. This is why when we looked at, last week on the Friday show, Dusty and I, were looking at the college football slate coming in the morning, and I looked at him. I go, "This is going to sound so stupid." And he's like, "What?" I go, "Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's going to be the one that gets Miami." And he's like, "I could see it." He goes, "King could be back." I was like, and that's the thing. Is Georgia Tech a good team? No. But
they're okay.
Again, they're just, but that's my point.
They're competent.
Anybody can get anybody in college football because you just don't, if you don't come correct,
you're right.
It's what happens. It's not, the talent disparity isn't, it's not the NFL where like every single dude is an absolute dude. And if you have somebody on your team who is somebody you're counting on who doesn't deliver, meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, somebody else does, the tides of a game can shift. Like that, and I think you just kind of look at this weekend. You've got Clemson-Pitt, like for an ACC.
I like Clemson to smack Pitt.
Again, I think so. But if I told you that Pitt came out and won that game, would you be surprised?
No, but I also, and this is because it's one of my best bets. I put it in the article. Feel free to go read that.
There you go.
You can head over to my Twitter, at Will Ordner. Shameless plug. But
come, babe.
My thing about Clemson with Pittsburgh is, Pittsburgh has a lot of wins this year by one score where they were down by 14.
And they come back and closed it.
Came back and closed it in the fourth quarter. When you've seen them play real teams, they've lost, right? They have two losses and it's back-to-back weeks where SMU just housed them.
Yeah.
And the other thing for Clemson is they know that if they're going to get into the playoff, they have to win the ACC title. Yep. They're not completely dead when it comes to the ACC because they do have only one conference loss.
But if this adds a second conference loss, you're going to start seeing in the ACC exactly what we've seen in the SEC. And you're going, okay, yeah, you've got Miami. He only has the one, but everything else.
And they haven't played anybody.
No. And, you've got SMU sitting there. You've got Pitt sitting there. You've got Clemson sitting there. It's like you're going to have to end up going through tiebreakers or something very, very stupid. And look, we all know the ACC is only getting one. They have to have it.
And that's why Clemson has to blow out Pitt, because now you have a common opponent with SMU.
Yep.
And you got to win by more than they did.
All right, coming up next, the undefeated and number one ranked Oregon Ducks are on their way to Madison, Wisconsin to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. We'll dive into that and more here coming up on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.